welcome your ears to episode number 292 of the Triple Option with RBKD on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, the real UT stood up today. We have taken the foot off the gas and applied some brakes, and the guys go through another round of Hypothetical Tuesday. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing good. I appreciate the intro. I know we don't have much time, so let's get right to it.
Absolutely. I'll be here as well. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
Staying alive, baby. Staying alive. Always good. Staying alive. Eric Kennedy, staying alive. Good to see Texas baseball back. That's what Texas baseball is all about. Got some pitching late, especially from Tanner Witt. And man, when you pick it like that, it's easy to pitch. Easier to pitch.
No doubt about that.
Throw strikes.
Throw strikes.
Let him hit it.
Absolutely. I'll be here as well. I'm BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling from now until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Tuesday afternoon with us. A very abbreviated edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. Of course, we normally run from 3 to 7, but due to Texas baseball knocking out Tennessee from the College World Series, we start a bit late today. But we're excited. Big win for the Longhorns. 8-4, the final score. KD, the Longhorns stay alive. A big-time performance out of the bullpen from Tanner Witt. How about 5 2/3 scoreless innings for Tanner Witt in relief of Tristan Stevens? Witt was magnificent. Impressive stuff from the freshman. And yeah, you brought up the name Eric Kennedy. Big time home run for the Longhorns. Texas went down 2-0 early. Tennessee had a lot of momentum, but on a 3-2 pitch with two outs, Eric Kennedy delivered with a 3-run bomb, and he had another hit later in the game too. Big time performance. The bats bounced back after a disappointing night, and Texas got the pitching it needed to stay alive in Omaha.
Got to be able to flush it. Said that yesterday. How loose can this team be? They were obviously tight against Mississippi State, and if you heard some of the post game there, it was interesting. Those guys said, you know, we just had to loosen up a little bit, and they did. And they loosened up actually in that ninth inning against Mississippi State, where you had nothing to lose at that point. You're striking out left and right, and Tulo told them, go out there and just, it can't get worse. Let it go. And they almost came back in that game, looked a lot better offensively, and their swings looked better. Give them credit, moving Eric Kennedy up in the count. There are two plays in this game that you put a star by, and number one for me is actually the double play when you got the bases loaded and the pick by Ardoin. Guys, I don't think you understand how difficult that is. Also, to keep your foot on home plate and then be able to fire to first. And that 5-2-3 that's the play of the game, because that's two runs in and you've got guys on second and third and no outs. Eric Kennedy is right there. That'd be play number two, even though it happened before, because it loosened them up and it opened it up. And you could tell those guys especially Faltini coming out of the dugout, those guys were fired up, and it's like, all right, let's go. We're going to kind of be who we are. Rob, we said they're resilient all year long. They were resilient in this game, and they were actually able to answer Tennessee in that fourth, and that fourth inning was the difference in this game.
Yeah, that fourth inning was a long fourth inning.
It was. Man, it was a heated fourth inning.
It was a heated fourth inning, but it seems like it brought out the best in Texas. And you really don't realize how deep Texas is in terms of their pitching, their bullpen, and their rotation until you watch a team like Tennessee, and the deeper they get into their bullpen, the weaker it gets, right?
Yes.
The more vulnerable they are, the more exploitable they are.
They went to their closer right away, and he didn't have it.
And he didn't have it, right? And same thing for Texas, right? Tristan
Stevens.
And
you're done at that point. They knew it.
Tristan Stevens didn't have his best stuff. You go to Tanner Witt. Tanner Witt has a hell of a performance. Whew. And is able to really take it home, so you don't even have to bring out other arms in your bullpen. And we all know how advantageous that can be for Texas later on, moving on in the tournament. So I wanted to ask you something, though, about the lineup changes, because
mm-hmm.
there were lineup. And there were slight lineup changes that Craig brought up before the game, that they moved some things around specifically. Was it just specifically for the matchup, or was it to break tendency? You're the seam head. What was the thought process there? And I mean, obviously it worked.
I think probably to probably loosen them up a little bit. And some of that is matchup, but to loosen them up. So Cam Williams goes to the 2 hole. You got Mitchell Daly going to the five hole. And then
Trey Faltini moved to the six.
Yeah, moves up. And then Eric Kennedy moves up one.
Him and Ardon switched. Yeah, exactly.
So Hodo's hitting seventh and Ardon hitting ninth. It just kind of loosened them up a little bit. I mean, you had to do something. David Pierce talked about it. They had to shorten their swings at some point in that Mississippi State game, and they didn't. And you saw Cam Williams choke up there in the ninth inning in that game, and their swing path looked a lot more direct. They're facing higher velo with the Tennessee starter to start off with, Tidwell.
Blade Tidwell.
Blade Tidwell.
That's a great name.
You got to be better than that if you're named Blade Tidwell.
He's got stuff, but they had six walks, and I know that kills Frank Anderson. I mentioned yesterday Frank Anderson's staffs, they're going to be competitive in the zone, and they just didn't have it, and they go to the closer Hundley, and Hundley didn't have it. Two thirds of an inning, three hits, three runs, all earned, walked a couple guys, and Texas was able to get that separation. But guys, this was all about defense. The 4-6-3, that was a big league play for Mitchell Daly going to his left in the 4 hole and to be able to spin right away. And then you saw Trey Faltini's arm. I mean, Trey Faltini, and you heard Chris Burke talking about it late in the game, saying, I'm really curious what the pros are going to look at with this guy, because the offense is the only thing left. And when the offense comes in, he even shows some pop. I mean, we've seen that throughout the year and even on the foul ball today. But defensively, those guys kind of showed who they were. The 4-6-3, the 5-2-3 BK, and then I think there was another double play in there. But also, what did I say about Tennessee? The reason I didn't like them in this tournament.
They're the only 10 you see.
And that's it.
Well done.
Nice. Well done, Dad.
Yeah.
Lindsey Nelson is a bandbox, and the ball travels there. Mm-hmm. And their 98 home runs was going to get to them psychologically. They hit a couple balls today that would have been out at Lindsey Nelson. And instead, they're walking back to the dugout, and that got to them psychologically. Mm-hmm. And that's why they made that point. It was a good one late in the telecast, saying, you know, that's why you want to build your park around where you're going to be playing for a national championship.
Agreed.
That was fun to watch, guys.
It really was. That was a good college baseball game.
It was stressful early, but thankfully Tanner Witt was so dominant in relief that he took a lot of stress out of the end of that game. But, man, emotions were running high from start to finish. How about the umps taking over a little bit? We saw a Tennessee assistant coach get ejected and then chunk his binder onto the field, which was pretty cool to see.
Ross Kivett, former Big 12 Player of the Year. I covered a regional where he was at Kansas State. And they've got a red-ass fiery staff.
Yeah, because they were all yelling.
Yeah, when you got Frank Anderson, they've got Josh Elander, who played at TCU, to go with Kivett and Vitello. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be a loud staff.
Oh, man, it was emotional.
That was fun. That's college baseball right there.
It's about survival.
Yep.
Yeah. This is it, man. We're going home if we don't survive this.
Survive in advance. Yeah. I know that's used for college basketball, but that's what Texas had to do today, and that's what the Longhorns will have to do on Thursday. So we said it before today, the Longhorns needed to win 4 games in 5 days. They took care of business today, and they've got a day off tomorrow, and then the goal is to win 3 in 4 days. We'll see what happens. But Texas now will take on the loser of Mississippi State, Virginia, which is a game that will take place tonight at 6 o'clock from TD Ameritrade Park. So either an opportunity for Texas to get some revenge against Mississippi State in an elimination game on Thursday, or a chance for Texas to take on Virginia. But the Longhorns do get a day off, and something that was so great about this game, look, you'll take a win any way you can get it, but the fact that the Longhorns only needed to use two pitchers, right? I mean, we talked about the importance of winning the first game just to give you extra days off, and that gives your bullpen a little bit of extra time. And we know that 35 of the last 39 College World Series winners won their first game in Omaha, and a lot of that has to do with, well, they got more time to rest their pitching staff. Texas only having to use two pitchers today, especially considering the fact that Tristan Stevens didn't get out of the fourth inning.
Right.
That was tremendously huge, and that gives David Pierce a lot more flexibility with his pitching staff moving forward.
Yeah, give Coach Pierce some credit. He knew when to move, when to make that move. He did not hesitate at all.
And when to keep him in, which I didn't know if he was going to, but ride with that.
Yeah, so I think that was good. And for the lineup changes, too, because that it sparked something. I agree with KD. Whether it just got guys out of a funk or whether it was – you know, the method to the madness was the strategy versus the matchups, protect certain guys, get insurance behind certain hitters, whatever it may be. It worked. So give him some credit.
It worked. So it's not ideal, but it's pretty close to it. I mean, Texas is definitely in a good spot with pitching, and I think they have enough pitching to actually make this fun and make it a run. And it obviously just continues to, you just go to the next day. So they get a day off. But Tristan Stevens only 58 pitches. Ideally, obviously, he goes 7 and Tanner Witt doesn't throw 78, because now you wonder, okay, Tanner Witt is one of your high leverage guys. The good news, guys, good news is that Aaron Nixon and Quintanilla haven't thrown. So if you can lengthen them out, and then Stevens probably comes back in before you get to that championship series, and you just got to get the other thing too, get length out of Pete Hansen tomorrow or on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Pete Hansen can give you 7, man, you are in a great spot.
That's it. Hell, if Pete Hansen can give you 6. And you only need 3 combined innings out of Quintanilla and Nixon, I think you're in a good spot. Yeah, Tanner Witt's not going to be available on Thursday, but David Pierce kind of hinted in the postgame to Tanner Witt being available Friday if Texas is able to survive in advance on Thursday night. So,
Stevens could be available Thursday.
And Stevens could be available Thursday, Friday, at some point again this weekend. So, that was fun, man. Texas got the win. Here's David Pierce after the game, his opening comments after the Longhorns knocked out Tennessee with an 8-4 win.
Thought we did a great job of competing all day from top to bottom. We had so many stars. We had so many guys that stepped up today, and that's what we needed. It was so clutch in the second when they put up 2 and EK's big 3-run home run. I mean, 2 tremendous double plays that we turned with the 5-2 3 by Silas on the pick and picking up Cam, and then tremendous job of Mitch going to the 4 hole on the 4-6-3 double play, and then, you know, just kept tacking on some runs, a couple of 2-out RBIs, and then just Tanner Witt. And you look at Tanner there, it's the most he's extended this year in a time we needed it. And, you know, Tristan Stevens has been so consistent for us, but well, that's why you call it a staff, and that's why you call it a team. So many guys stepped up today, which we needed.
Well, David Pierce sounds winded. I mean, he's out of gas. That just shows you the stress and anxiety that goes into not only playing but also coaching a game in the College World Series. And, yeah, glad he gets his first win in Omaha. Hopefully the first of many. And, look, David Pierce wasn't going to lose his job if Texas lost this game today. But there would have been some Texas baseball fans asking some questions, like, hey, you went 2 in barbecue back in 2018, and you had the number 2 team in the country going into the College World Series. You were the highest remaining seed left in the tournament going into Omaha. And if you go 2 in Q again, then the seat's warming up. Let's just leave it at that. So that had to be nice, Rod, for a little bit of stress off the shoulders of David Pierce. His goal was not to win one game in Omaha, of course, but to get that first one, it's got to feel like a monkey off the back a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I agree with you. He wasn't under any – I don't think his job, of course, was in danger, but Texas fans have high expectations, especially Texas baseball fans, probably of any other program on the 48th.
Yeah.
Their expectations are really high. Yeah, so to go 2 in barbecue for a program like Texas, that's considered unacceptable and embarrassing. Yeah, but you got to go – you get to the College World Series for Texas, you compete. You're not just happy you got there.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why they've been – now 37 times and now won 86 games. So they've actually won a lot there, and that can be different than winning a national championship. But yeah, you've got to stay there for about a week.
All the fans that made the trip,
they want to stay there too.
Exactly. You got to make it worth it for them. They need to eat barbecue, even though they're eating some good barbecue on the trip.
One guy, so the defense was just spectacular. And I'm so glad that they were able to flash that, because their defense has been so good all year long. And then Tanner Witt picking him up. You know, Tanner Witt, man, he talked about the changeup in the post game. That changeup is really lethal when, you know, he's a high spin rate guy. So his 94 up in the zone where he got a couple guys to fish, he only had 2 strikeouts. That is what he uses with the changeup, and then he's got the nice hook, and he even threw in a two-seamer in there. Guys, this guy's going to be really good for a long time.
Yeah, I haven't said this often over the last 16 months, but shout out COVID.
Wow.
Because COVID's probably the only reason we have Tanner Witt on campus.
5-round draft.
With the 5-round MLB draft last year. So Tanner Witt's awesome. As a true freshman, he's been spectacular, and we saw that on full display today. We get 2 more years of that guy.
Yep.
Not that we're looking beyond this year yet, and hopefully we're not looking beyond this year for another couple of weeks, but that guy is already a stud, and Well, he's going to be a big part of this pitching staff moving forward, which is very, very exciting.
And I think he's going to hit next year a little bit. I mean, that was one thing that they didn't really bring him along with that as much this year, wanted him to focus on pitching, but he's a really good hitter. So, yeah, he could be one of those two-way guys that we're talking about. And then Ivan Melendez has actually seen the baseball better than you would think. So you look and you say, well, he was 0-for-2, Kevin, with the run. He had two walks and was even in that seventh inning in a 3-1 count, and I was feeling it. I thought, all right, Ivan, sit dead red and get into one. And it was a fastball low, and he saw it and spit on it and said, I'm going to take my walk. So not really expanding his zone. I know he went 0-for-2. Melendez is seeing the baseball a little bit better. Certainly better than he was a week ago when he just wasn't identifying.
Might have started in that 11 pitch at bat with Sims.
You know what? It very well could have, right? Rod. It very well could have.
Because I know I know Texas lost, but
that was a great at bat.
It was a great at bat, man. It really was.
And then so he had one where when the junkie lefty comes in, he cue balls one, which was not a good at bat. But the other at bat was pretty good. Just got under a ball to left.
Yeah.
And he was close. Like I told y'all, it does not carry to center or left. It does carry to right.
That ballpark sucks.
It does.
I mean, it's beautiful. It does. It's new, but the way it was set up is just awful, and it's bad for the sport.
Especially when I give you all the real story
of
why it was set up that way.
Why it faces the wrong direction?
The convention center. We want that as our backdrop. This is going to turn Omaha into New York City.
I'm going to look up this convention center and see how cool it is.
It's a convention center.
I know, but it might be like a really cool design.
It's not. It's not.
Okay.
I mean, it's cooler than the Austin Convention Center from an aesthetic standpoint, but it's not worth
being the centerpiece.
Ruining the biggest tournament, the biggest 2 weeks of your sports.
Why we know your city.
Exactly. Yeah, and people, it's frustrating.
But actually, that played to Texas' advantage in this game because Tennessee did have some long fly balls and hell of a play by Antico. He's cruising on that one late. And then Mikey had to go leg day and put it into full gear.
And saw him mouth after he made that catch.
Yeah.
Like, that effing hurt.
Well, yeah, he did. And that thing took off. Mm-hmm. Also, Antico getting on the base paths and doing what he does. Texas, four steals. They were going to run on this Tennessee catcher, and you could tell it was kind of in his head. He was tossing the ball in the center field, left, right.
This team was resilient. We've talked about it all season long, and they needed to be resilient. Of course, after losing the opener to Mississippi State, but also after going down 2-0 in the top of the second, they battled back. How about this? 7 of the 8 runs that Texas scored today came with 2 outs, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's
and
clutch.
5 of the 8 RBIs came from the bottom 2 spots in your lineup. So after the 6 through 9 hitters were horrible, horrible. I mean, everybody was horrible. One horrible against Mississippi State on Sunday. But the bottom of the order was 2 horribles. Those guys delivered. You got great defense as well. Just everybody contributed in some form or fashion today. And when you get to Omaha and you play a team as good as Tennessee, you need production up and down your lineup. You need your defense to bail you out. And you need your pitching to get the job done. Texas got a little bit from everybody today.
Boy,
I'd like to know. So I want to know from you, is it going to keep the lineup changes the same?
Yeah.
Or was that specific to this matchup versus Tennessee?
Because that's a great question.
Obviously, later in the lineup, the 6-9 hitters. Terrible versus Mississippi State.
Nice.
They were really good.
0-for-12, 10 Ks.
All right, clutch in this game. Do you keep it the same?
So that's a great question. I do, because I don't think this was predicated on Tidwell and the matchup. Yeah. I think it was more to kind of juice it up a little bit, change it up a little bit, freshen it up a little bit, and it did that. So my guess is he's going to stick with that, but we're going to find out. So if he goes back to it, that means it was predicated just on facing that Tennessee starter.
Either way, give him props.
Great coaching. And you know what? So once again, for me, easily the play of the game was the pick by Ardoin.
Mm-hmm.
And because Cam, as David Pierce said in postgame, goosed it a little bit. And that's one of those where that just would have been deflating. And it's in that real critical time at that juncture in the game. Cam Williams at bat, I know this sounds stupid, in the third inning where he grinded out to second base. God, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. The infield was playing back. Understand the moment. Understand what it presents. And Cam can be one of those guys who tries to juice it up a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. And he said, no. That's where his dad, Reggie, who played for a long time, I think he got to the majors, but was certainly in the minors, he probably looked at that and said, that's my boy right there.
Yeah.
Like, understand baseball. If they're giving you a 4-3 RBI, take it. And he did.
It's an expression used in every sport. Take what the defense gives you.
Yes.
And that's what Cam Williams did with that at bat. That was a big RBI ground out. By the way, nice to see Peyton Manning in the stands today watching his nephew's future school. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you're right about
hope
that.
So.
Yeah,
he was supporting Texas, I think, right?
Good little story, though. They brought up that Arch played at Ole Miss, played baseball, and they got to Omaha and ran into Bert Hooten.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great
arguably
story.
The best college pitcher ever.
Dude,
1.14 ERA, 35-3.
I mean, I love Craig and Roger, of course, but I enjoyed the TV broadcast today.
Yeah.
That's a good trio right
it is.
There with Tom and Chris and Ben McDonald, the Cajun himself. I mean, that was fun to listen to. They had some good stories about the history of Texas baseball. How about Eric Kennedy becoming the first Longhorn to hit a homer and steal a bag in a College World Series game since Brooks Kieschnick
in 93.
Yeah.
So I love Brooks and I'm friends with Brooks, so I will say this. How the hell did Brooks steal a bag? And I thought one of those guys, I'm sure that Ben knows him. I was surprised McDonald didn't jump in there because he's a funny, like you said, a funny Cajun and jump in and say, man, we know Brooks can do everything, but stealing a bag?
Yeah. I think he gave Brooks some love and he's like, well, he probably pitched a couple of shutout innings too in that game.
I'm surprised Majewski hadn't done that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I mean, there's been so many great Longhorn players who have played in Omaha since Brooks Kieschnick. I'm surprised nobody did that. But props to Eric Kennedy. He was huge for the Longhorns. And by the way, Elon Musk was available for comment after the game. Did y'all catch this?
I want to be clear. I do not respect the SEC. I do not respect them.
So Elon is pleased with Texas's win over
Wrong
the SEC Tennessee today.
DK, we had dinner last night, and you said that you said there's just something, you go, look, and they may not win this thing, but there's something about the way they played against SEC teams. You're glad they had South Carolina in that experience. But also you kind of, you wanted them to win this because you're a Texas fan, a huge one. But also there was something a little extra about, let's not get our ass kicked by two SEC teams.
Exactly. I hate that conference. And, you know, the entire conference would have been bragging about it if Tennessee had knocked out Texas, right? If Mississippi State and Tennessee, two SEC teams, had been the two teams to knock Texas out of the College World Series, we would have heard it from A&M fans. We would have heard it from every fan base in the SEC. So that was nice to deliver a blow to an SEC team today, a knockout blow.
And the third-seeded team. This is a team that was, look, I mean, I think Mississippi State, well, we'll see tonight. Obviously, whoever wins is going to be in the catbird seat. But I almost would rather see Mississippi State lose, and let's take care of them in one game and not have to face what's-his-nuts again.
Bednar.
Yeah, I don't want to see that dude.
No,
I don't.
Seen enough.
Absolutely. Texas gets the win, 8-4, the final. The Longhorns stay alive. The next game for UT, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, right here on the Horn. They will take on the loser of tonight's Mississippi State-Virginia game. It'll be another elimination game for the Longhorns. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I am BK Brad Kellner. That was fun for Texas baseball, but we got some not-so-fun news regarding Texas football during the game. An important player for this Longhorn offense has reportedly entered the transfer portal. We'll give you the details next.
Tidwell with a windup. The 3-2. Swung onto the ball. Hit well. This one out to right. Way back. And you can say goodnight to it. Eric Kennedy, a three-run bomb. It looked like it hit the plate glass that had the Longhorn logo on it. A three-run homer. And just like that, the Longhorns take a 3-2 lead.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. That was Craig Way, the voice of the Longhorns on the call. That call courtesy of the IMG Radio Network. Longhorn fans really excited about the Longhorns' performance in the College World Series, getting a win over you, lowercase t. of course, a lot of Longhorns are now looking at football and some reports coming from the 40 acres about the football team, and that's probably not such good news for the Longhorns because Jake Smith, gentlemen, has entered the transfer portal, bringing a little bit of the damper down on Longhorn fans.
That's surprising, isn't it? Just on the surface? I mean, there are opportunities to be had there?
Yeah. I mean, it was first reported by Max Olson, I believe, then Chris Hummer of 247 Sports also put it out there. I didn't see a lot of scuttlebutt, if you will, about this, and I look at a lot of different sites. I'm sure you guys do too. So I didn't see a ton of buzz about it, but
no.
maybe there is some reason. Maybe it's unrelated to the competition of wide receiver. Maybe it's got something to do with some off-the-field stuff. Not saying I heard anything.
Yeah.
Don't know anything at all. But I'm just saying
could be that.
Throwing out there some possible reason, some explanation, because I'm with you, KD. On the field, it would seem like he's competing for a starting spot, and most people project him to be a starter.
You would think so. Yeah. Look, he's had injury problems here, and I don't think I've ever been as high on him as some people. I think he could be a good player, but there is going to be, BK, an opportunity to you know, and to be with a play caller like Sark. Maybe he's already seen stuff that he doesn't think he'd be the right fit, but one of the things we like about Sark and that really has done recently, but even going back to Washington and USC, he will find a way to utilize your skill set.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to stay healthy and catch the ball.
I figured any wide receiver at Texas would want to stay at Texas after watching what Sark was able to do with the wide receivers at Alabama the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, I know Jake Smith is not as good as any of those four first-rounders that the Crimson Tide had under Sark.
No, he's not.
Still, you figured, man, I've got the chance to be really, really good and turn into an NFL player if I'm a part of this system. And, yeah, it felt like there was a great opportunity for Jake Smith not only to be a part of the wide receiver rotation but start for this Texas football team. I think just about everybody had penciled this dude in as a starter for this Texas football team. So, disappointing. And we all had high hopes for Jake Smith coming out of high school, Gatorade National Player of the Year in the state of Arizona a couple of years ago, his senior year of high school. But his Texas career, unfortunately, marred by injuries. And, guys, he won't have a chance to change the narrative. Barring a withdrawal from the portal, that's going to be Jake Smith's legacy here at Texas.
Yep.
Just a what could have been type of guy.
We have seen some guys, you know, withdraw from the portal, go into the portal and come back. Casey Thompson did it. Denzel Okafor did it.
Berman's good at that. Bringing him back.
Dele Adeoye, Anthony Cook did it. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, Jake Smith. I think he's going to leave, actually. I can't think of a reason as to what would have. We thought about this with Dele Adeoye, too. Right.
Right. It didn't make sense in terms of the position group.
And then he ended up coming back. So maybe he'll end up coming back. But I think if he's exploring options, there'll be more than enough interested parties to woo him out of the transfer portal. A lot of people think he wants to go back to the West Coast. If that's the case,
Where does Texas have a lot of assistants and a lot of guys have gone?
A lot of guys that recruited him
right
are at USC right now.
USC,
which Jeff Howe told us before the show started, that's the dream school of Jake Smith, reportedly, was USC.
Okay,
so it looks like the stars are
did
aligned.
He not get a ride originally at USC?
I think he did. I think Tom Herman just did a great job recruiting. And he liked Tom Herman. He liked that staff. He really did. And that's part of the reason I think he wants to leave, too. There's nobody that recruited him that's left really on campus. And maybe the injury situation that he had during the spring, maybe that soured his taste on the coaching staff. It's hard. Once you're injured, coaches, I'm saying they forget about you. They don't pay attention to you, though.
No.
Especially new staff. They're moving on. They got to evaluate other guys. He probably wasn't feeling the love. And guys like Xavier Worthy now coming in, as has been reported by several different outlets, is getting a lot of love. And he fits Sark's philosophy a little bit more. Sark believes that basically speed is the fuel of his offense. And Xavier Worthy has got a ton of that. I mean, he's a
track
10-500-meter dash guy. This is his sophomore year numbers. Because in California, they had some freaky stuff going on, like with COVID and stuff. So I believe these numbers are from his sophomore year because this is from 2019. So he didn't run track in 2020. 10-5, 500 meters, 22-foot long jump, and a 21-41, 200 meters. He can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my 100-meter time right there.
He can go. He can go.
Yeah.
He can go.
He's slight, but he can go.
He's Josh Moore. Joshua Moore and him are very similar, which is why I thought Joshua Moore would be the one who would be frustrated by Xavier Worthy's presence, not Jake Smith. But
yeah, I think your theory about Jake Smith missing spring has a lot to do with this, right? I mean, he got hurt on the very first day of spring ball. And look, we don't know if the writing was on the wall that Jake Smith wasn't going to be a starter for this team. Once again, I think we all expected him to find a way into the starting lineup come the fall. But yeah, maybe he just felt underappreciated, and maybe he saw some of the other guys in that wide receiver room step up, and he thought, all right, well, maybe I'm not going to be a plug-and-play starter for this team week one, and I want to go somewhere where I can do that.
Yeah.
But, injuries. I mean, he put up great numbers as a freshman, gave us all a lot of hope, 25 catches, 274 yards, and 6 touchdowns in 2019. But in 2020, missed 3 of the team's first 4 games due to injury, obviously breaking his foot on the first day of spring practice, missing the rest of spring ball did not help either. So, interesting. I mean, we've talked about Andre Coleman, and I feel like the jury's still out on him, whether or not he is the long-term answer at wide receiver coach for this football team. You felt like he had some pieces to work with. You still feel like he's got some pieces to work with, like Whittington and Troy O'Meara and Xavier Worthy and Joshua Moore, but you lose, once again, one of those guys that you thought was going to be a key contributor to this football team. So that's a bummer. Bummer.
Yeah.
Had high hopes. I think we all did for Jake Smith. And once again, barring a withdrawal from the portal, which I don't think any of us think is going to happen, that's the end of his Texas career.
I'll tell you somebody who's happy. Kai Money.
Oh,
Kai
Money. Show me the money.
Straight cash, homie. Yeah. Kai Money, Jordan Whittington, Troy O'Meara.
SPI is rejoicing right now.
And Joshua Moore are your top guys, but all those guys have their drawbacks, right? Jordan Whittington's dealt with injuries, so is Troy O'Meara. Joshua Moore has had some injuries a little bit too. Xavier Worthy would be just a freshman, but everybody's high on him. And Kai Money, people just think that you can have a receiver with a higher ceiling than Kai Money. That's their big criticism. But coaches really like Kai Money. Two different coaching regimes, by the way, like Kai Money. But this group, Avante Woodard, Jaden Alexis, Marcus Washington, Kelvonte Dixon, DeJuan Harrison, Montrell Estell, you got to get something out
you
of
that. You got to get one or two.
Probably, one or two of those guys has to develop.
I still am holding out hope, and it may be all bus team with Avante Woodard. And that maybe this staff can unlock something that hadn't been there.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
But I know that's a hope.
Yeah.
Washington is my one.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
I mean, those are the two upperclassmen of the guys you mentioned. Yeah. So you'd like for one, if not both of those guys, to finally come into their own.
Give me some John Harris, baby.
I'll take that.
Oh, what a great story.
Give me some John Harris.
Yeah.
I will take that in a heartbeat. Or Mike Davis, too. Wasn't he one of those late bloomers?
He was.
He was late, yeah.
Had great Mike Davis.
Junior, senior year. Uh-huh.
All right, we'll continue that conversation. We'll also get back to Texas baseball, of course, celebrating the Longhorns' win in Omaha. The Longhorns staving off elimination with an 8-4 victory over Tennessee. Burnt orange, the better shade of orange today at TD Ameritrade Park. We'll get back into that, talk some Texas football as well. It's abbreviated. It's an abbreviated. I can't combine those two words. That's not how that works. It's an abbreviated edition of the Triple Option with RBKD, and it continues next.
Then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along, and so you're back.
The 3-1 pitch. 3-1 pitch. Swung on, ground ball, hit the third. Cam Williams has it. Throws to second, the short way to get the final out. The Texas Longhorns are still alive and kicking in Omaha. In the ninth, no runs, on a hit, and a man left. The Texas Longhorns have eliminated the Tennessee Volunteers from the College World Series.
Craig Way, the voice of the Longhorns, on the call. The sound courtesy of the IMG Radio Network, and the musical choice, the musical selection
fantastic.
Is my man VK, the real MVP. And I got to tell you, that was right on the money there. It's you didn't think that that would be a good song for the montage or for any type of highlight, but it ended up being thrilling. Selection. Good
I didn't job. Know if he was going to do it. And once I heard it, I thought, please tell me there's a Craig Way highlight underneath this.
Fit perfectly
and
in
there. Was.
But
there was.
Everything goes well with a Craig Way highlight. Let's be honest. Could have played anything there. Mm-hmm.
Tupac.
Exactly. Craig Way highlight. That's how a Longhorn baseball fans feel anyway. A lot of props to Texas baseball. They do survive in advance, beating Tennessee 8-4. Tanner Witt's performance getting a lot of love, gentlemen. I love this stat. I'll throw it out there. I get it from Nick Moyle. I'll give him credit at NR Moyle. Tanner Witt's previous game highs this season, 3.1 innings pitched, 53 total pitches. He threw more than 43 pitches only twice. And today, 5.2 innings pitched, 78 pitches, 52 strikes.
Yeah, he was peppering the zone, guys. You know, and when your defense is playing like that, allow your guys to make some plays behind it. And that's what he did. There's no reason to walk people.
And for Tristan Stevens not to have his best
stuff. That
and for
too.
Him to have his best stuff when Tristan Stevens didn't have it, that was clutch.
Works out well. And it gets back to coaching, too, about kind of pulling the right, making the right move at the right time.
Yeah.
And they did that. Stevens is a sinker ball guy. He was really kind of off with his changeup and slider today. And so you could kind of see that early, and the fact that Witt is able to come in, he's going to be a starter most likely next year. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be really set up for that spot. I've talked about Ty Madden, who's about to be a millionaire, and only helped that out with his with his outing the other day. But Ty Madden pro ball is going to have to develop a changeup or a curveball. He's just, if he's going to stay as a starter, he's going to have to. He can be a closer doing that. Witt already has a really good feel for a change. Guys, changeups usually, that's one of the last things that, that comes for a young pitcher. You know, I mean, to where to really have a understand a feel for it and how to keep the arm motion the same, arm speed the same, and that's when a changeup really can Bugs Bunny a hitter and parachute you a little bit. So Witt already has a lot of stuff. So coming out of the bullpen and being able to throw the two-seamer, the changeup, really spinning the four-seamer and locating it perfectly above the zone, getting above those bats like Bednar did to go with a nice hook. I'm excited about this guy. I just saw your tweet, BK. Another couple years is nice.
That's pretty freaking cool that we get this guy for another couple of years. He was tremendous today, without question, the player of the game for the Longhorns, because this felt like it was going to turn into a shootout, guys. I mean, after four innings, it was 7-4, and Tristan Stevens was already yanked, and Blade Tidwell, the Tennessee pitcher, was already
stuck on Blade.
That's all you need.
Stuck on Blade. I like the new version of that.
The back of his jersey shouldn't say Tidwell. It should say Blade.
I agree with you.
You got to be a one-name type of guy with a name as cool as Blade.
That's a good point.
I'd put Runner back there.
Oh. And his number would be 2048.
Blade Runner.
That's nice. Mm. I kind of like this.
Thanks. Well done there. But yeah, you just felt like, all right, first to double digits is going to win this game. And then you're thinking, all right, well, maybe 10 isn't going to be enough to win this game. But Tanner Witt comes in and 5 2/3 of scoreless relief. And the best part was Texas didn't have to use anybody else. So now the Longhorns have a very, very fresh bullpen going into Thursday the next time they play. And that's huge, right? Texas needed to win 4 in 5 days. Now they need to win 3 in 4 days. That taxes your bullpen, having to play that many games in that short of an amount of time to get 5 2/3 of phenomenal ball from Tanner Witt. Absolutely massive for Texas, not only to take care of business today, but also moving forward.
Couple at-bats we talked about earlier. Love the Cam Williams at-bat where you just got to hit the ball in the middle of the infield, and you're going to get a run home, and you're going to be up 4-2 and feel a hell of a lot better about it. And he did that, really controlled the situation. Mitch Daly had a couple hits, but 7-9, Rod, we talked about 6-9 and just how awful they were, 0-12 with 10 strikeouts against Mississippi State. You shuffle up the lineup a little bit, and those guys came through. I mean, 7-9 had 3 hits, and they scored 4 runs. They scored half of your runs, the bottom of your lineup. Eric Kennedy, I said it even during regionals, the swing is starting to get there, and really it's about timing and getting his front foot down. And when you see that many fastballs over and over again, Tidwell was only throwing fastballs. The more you spoil those and the more you see, the more you're going to be locked in. And for a lefty, he put it in a perfect spot with his swing path. And he's got the pop. We know that. Yeah. How about Silas Ardoin and that great at-bat? We talk about the two outs to go the other way. And Ardoin has not been swinging the bat very well. That was huge right there. Silas was MVP of the game for me, not only with that, but with the pick, which was the play of the game.
Yeah, defense.
Yeah, defense was huge. A couple of double plays, right? I mean, the 5-2-3 double play turned, what was that, the third inning. After Texas had taken the 3-2 lead, Tennessee loads the bases with nobody out. And you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. So much for that lead. And then, yeah, I mean, give credit to Tristan Stevens for making the right pitches, but a fantastic play on a hard-hit ball to Cam Williams. He made a nice play to pick it himself. Then his throw home, he short-armed it a little bit. Silas Ardoin, an unbelievable pick, and then a beautiful turn and throw to first. And Tristan Stevens got out of it. I mean, bases loaded, no outs for Texas to hold Tennessee to nothing.
Nightmare scenario.
In that situation.
It really was.
Yeah. It could have blew everything wide open.
If they don't make that play, like if Silas Ardoin doesn't make that pick and that ball goes to the backstop, I don't think Texas wins this game.
I don't either.
I think Tennessee scores 4 runs at minimum in that inning. I think Tristan Stevens gets yanked in that inning, and I just don't know if the Longhorns were able to come back from that type of deficit. Mm-hmm. That was a huge momentum play, but also a huge play to keep Tennessee off the scoreboard. So I agree. That was the play of the game. A lot of candidates because a lot of guys stepped up and made some things happen for the Horns, but I don't think they get this win if they don't make that defensive play in the third inning.
Yeah, we talked to Coach Ty Harrington. When was that? Was that after regionals?
Yeah.
Before Super Regionals? Mm-hmm. He had a great line about Texas. Said Texas baseball actually makes defense sexy again.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I know you love that.
But he's talking about those plays.
Right.
Those, they're almost like highlight reel plays because they're so extraordinary and they just stand out to you. In this game, I guess he was, you know, essentially foreshadowing because that's what won the game for him.
Yep.
Those defensive plays you guys were talking about.
Without a doubt.
It's great to have the offensive support, but those defensive plays might have turned everything in terms of momentum, and it really killed a lot of momentum for Tennessee.
It did. No, it took all the momentum out, and that those are deflating whenever you're, especially you put a ball like the 4-6-3. I don't think people, if you don't follow baseball, you may not recognize just how tough a play that is. That's a major league baseball play, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you see at the big league level and you go, whoa, God, these guys are slick.
Yeah,
God,
at
these
the big guys league are level, you're
that's a really good play.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah, and that was huge too, right? Because Tennessee was threatening again in the fourth inning, and Mitchell Daly was able to make that play. Beautiful to see from Texas. And everything was clicking today. I mean, Tristan Stevens did not have his best stuff, but, man, the defense was what we've been accustomed to seeing from this baseball team all year long. You saw some quality at-bats, guys fighting, working, tough counts, a lot of foul balls, a lot of extended at-bats, which is not what we saw on Sunday against Mississippi State, but is what we saw from Texas in the regional and the super regional. And then that bullpen, man, the pitching depth. We've talked about it. Texas has the best pitching depth in the country. That was on display with what Tanner Witt did.
It was. Yeah. And the longer you hang around, guys, there's a better chance that some of these guys that just haven't been hitting the ball like they were throughout the year start to turn it around and something clicks. And I'm really looking at 3 and 4, Zach Zubia and Melendez. I'm hoping the two-hit day for Mitchell Daly is a sign right there. But those guys, Zubia, Melendez, and then Cam, who was hitting in the two spot before, who did have a hit, and nice piece of hitting. Just take that thing the other way. And did and got an RBI and then also got the ground out that I've talked about, which was perfect. If those guys especially start to see the baseball and really start to hit the way they can, that's how Texas is going to get in the championship series, because you got three games ahead of you and those guys are going to have to start swinging it.
I want to play this highlight, then I want to get y'all's thoughts on this play.
One ball, two strikes, two outs. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Hundley. Swung on and that's lined into the galley in right center. This will score one run, rounding third, being waved to the plate is Hodo. Here comes the throw to the plate. He throws to the slides. He's safe. Both runs score. Silas Ardoin drives in a pair, and the Longhorns lead it 6-4.
Okay, D, you alluded to that big hit by Silas Ardoin. There it was, but there was some controversy with that play at the plate. The home plate ump said Dougie Hodo got his foot in there before the tag was applied.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang play. The call on the field was going to stand either way, right? There just wasn't enough to overturn it either way, but the Longhorns caught a break right there without question.
Did you think he was out?
Yes.
Okay.
The first couple of views that they showed,
because there's an
like
angle where
he
looks safe.
Yeah, the first two or three angles they showed, it looked like he was in there, but the last angle I think was pretty definitive that the tag was applied before Hodo got his foot down.
Well, we knew the college version of waving Wendell Kim was going to be sending Hodo. At least he wasn't out by 10 feet, which we've seen before. So, yeah, I mean, I would have sent him there. Hodo can really run. You got two outs, and you try and press that a little bit. And it obviously really was close. But, yeah, that was huge right there and didn't help the Tennessee dugout at all. I know that those guys were pissed. That's a bang bang play. So yeah, I did early on that angle. I thought he was safe, and then I saw one that I thought, okay, but you can't really tell if, because on one angle it doesn't look like he got the foot in, and then there's another angle where it looks like he got the foot in before the tag gets to the thigh.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw it well, thanks to my friends at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. If you want to improve your eyesight, you got to call my friends at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. It's been a little bit more than a year and a half since I got that all laser LASIK procedure. Changed my life for the better. I can see perfectly. I mean, better than 20/20 without glasses and without contact lenses. You've heard so many of us here at the Horn talk about our experiences with Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Oh, they'll hook you up too. Let 2021 be the year where you finally get that LASIK done. And there's no better time than right now to go into Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, because the consultation is completely free and the all-laser LASIK itself starts at just $4.95 per eye. They've got guaranteed financing available as well. So do what I did. Give them a call or go online to set up that free consultation. It's 512-596-2020. The website, sharp-vision.com. That's sharp with an E. -vision.com. It is Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, the official LASIK provider of Austin FC. Guys, Texas gets the win. They move on to Thursday. The Longhorns await the loser of Virginia and Mississippi State. And this game just underway at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha. And the Cavaliers have an early 1-0 lead over Mississippi State. So once again, Texas will take on the loser of this game in an elimination game on Thursday night.
So as this thing drags on too, Texas only becomes more potent.
Yeah.
We've said it all year, Rod. What does Texas do well? They beat up second, third, and especially four starters. And they're going to get a third starter tomorrow. And they're pretty happy with their third starter, who would be an ace for a lot of teams.
Yep. Totally agree. You saw it versus Tennessee.
Yes.
Right? They went. They end up four deep in their pitching rotation, end up getting to the bullpen with a couple of guys, and Tanner Witt was able to take Texas home, save some arms for Texas, but also able to kind of cushion the blow of Tristan Stevens not having his best stuff today. So, yeah, right. Texas pitching advantage seems to be more and more apparent the deeper you go into the College World Series. Hopefully that's the case.
Did he? I don't know if David Pierce was just playing a little game here or not, but post game, did you guys hear when he said that, well, you know, we'll see who we're going to go with. We may go with Pete. Like, are you going to go with Colby? I mean, like, what are you going to do with that? I think you go with Pete. You just got to stay alive.
He's going with Pete.
Okay.
He's pulling a Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley every year, even if he has the returning Heisman Trophy winner, will say, oh, we've got a quarterback competition. I don't know who our starter's going to be. Both guys have a shot.
Yeah.
That's what David Pierce has done in this College World Series. Everybody knew Ty Madden was getting the start in Game 1. David Pierce didn't say anything about that. And everybody knows that Pete Hansen is going to get the start for Texas on Thursday, and I don't think we'll hear anything from David Pierce until Thursday.
Yeah, I think I think that's probably the way they're going to go. By the way, you should see David Pierce's brisket. It's a lot better than Lincoln Riley.
Oh,
so don't,
wow.
Do not put those guys in the same category.
You know, I don't know if that's super nice to David Pierce, because the bar that Lincoln Riley said is underground.
Oof.
So as long as David Pierce's brisket is edible, then it'd be better than what Lincoln Riley was doing.
Very sad brisket. Put some more barbecue sauce on that thing.
Baltini's throw on that 4-6-3. I promise you, there are scouts that are having Sean Dunstan, or I'll give you a guy who actually, Trevor Hoffman, was a shortstop at Arizona, and thinking, man, if he can't swing it, we're going to get him on the mound.
Mm.
And I'll be curious. They kind of mentioned that today in the telecast. Rod, his arm is that electric. Mm. He's got the strongest arm I've ever seen for a Texas shortstop. And no, he does.
Yeah.
That's freaky.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
For you to say.
And I've seen some strong arms, but he's got the strongest one that is just. And UT George, y'all, I know you will. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I may be forgetting a guy. But for me in my lifetime, and they kind of hinted at that a little bit, that this guy is, he's one of these prospects that I love watching, because he goes 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts, and I know that there are scouts watching just going, I see the ceiling.
Let me get hold of him.
I see the ceiling. And as Ty Harrington said also, that flexibility with his swing. In terms of flexibility, Bryant AC and Electric can definitely be flexible with you. 38 years in business, second generation family run business, just fantastic people. I love the family. I've known them virtually my whole life. They actually had Clint Bryant, who's part of the Bryant family, All-American third baseman at Texas Tech. Hit a home run in the 94 Southwest Conference semifinals here.
Is that on your script?
No, it's not on the script. So, yeah, they won the Chronicle Best of 2019, Local Best in 2018, 2019, 2020. They got background check technicians. You can get same-day service. You're going to get a technician, not a salesman. And they are going to take care of you. It's a one-stop shop for both AC and electrical needs. Any AC, they work with. So all you got to do is give them a call, 512-328-3268, 512-328-3268, or it's BryantElectricService.com.
Beautifully done. Yeah, I didn't see the script today. I was wondering if they maybe added that in there, some College World Series history during your live read.
So Clint Bryant hits a bomb. Texas is actually the away team, because it was semifinals. It was being played at the Dish, but it was a Southwest Conference tournament. And I got Zach Bryant with Blake Davis behind me, 10 rows, and this was his cousin. And so Clint hits one out. Zach went to UT as a UT fan, but at that point he was rooting for his cousin, right?
Yeah,
because we're like, he's like, well, dude, we were 13 or 14. I don't care.
It's blood.
I would have been 5 and rooting against my dad if he was coaching against University of Texas baseball. There's no excuse for that, Zach. I love you. But so then Texas ends up getting the Shamarin's home run in the top of the ninth, followed by Stephen Larkin on the next pitch. God, that was good times. Mm. I love this program.
Shamarin's shout out too.
Shamarin's hit a ball to right center. That's one of those moonshot home runs that you remember at the Dish. I mean, that thing took off, and Stephen Larkin hit one about 316 down to 315 foul pole that just nicked it. And you couldn't have had two more different home runs, but they both counted.
They both counted. And Texas's win today counted. The Longhorns stay alive. They knock off Tennessee 8-4, the final from TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha. Once again, the Longhorns await the loser of Mississippi State, Virginia. They are through one in that game. Virginia, an early 1-0 lead over the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. That game, once again, Texas against the loser of this one Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on the Horn. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I am BK Brad Kellner. We've got the BK Lounge coming up. I know it's a shortened show, but it's still Tuesday. It's still 6:30, which means it'll be time for another edition of Hypothetical Tuesday. Don't go anywhere.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
Oh, the band is out on the field!
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw!
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it!
In 2 seconds!
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal!
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. June 22nd, 20 and 21 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. Katie's going to tell you a little bit more about AV Consultations here in a few minutes. Gentlemen, you know what time it is.
It's Tuesday somewhere, so you know what that means. It's Taco Tuesday!
Yeah, thank you very much, LeBron. A little bit early on that one.
Well, he's not doing anything now.
So no. You think you do a better job considering he has nothing going on. I guess all that time on the set of Space Jam is taken away.
Right. Yeah, he's probably filming right now. Yeah,
LeBron's ability to be a key contributor to this program, but that's okay. We'll get him next time. All right, guys, another round of Hypothetical Tuesday. If you're new to this bit, where you been? I'm tired of explaining this. I just ask my two co-hosts hypothetical questions, would you rather questions. And I try to find out what's going on inside the minds of these two knuckleheads. Mm. I'm working with these guys, man. Spend more time with these guys than anybody else in the entire world. I got to make sure I know what these dudes are about.
Be careful what you wish for.
You got to trust us.
I don't.
I know you don't.
This segment does not help the trust that I have between y'all. All right, guys. The theme for today's Hypothetical Tuesday is kind of physical appearance. Mm. So we'll start with this. Would you rather be forced to shave your eyebrows every day or never be able to cut your toenails again?
Oh, oh man, that's terrible.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to shave my eyebrows every day. That's easy. Because women, actually, they shave their eyebrows and they, you know, and they actually draw on fake eyebrows.
That's the caveat there.
So you could draw on fake eyebrows.
We're going no draw on.
Oh, what?
You've got to be eyebrowless Joe Jackson.
You don't change the rules on us?
It'd be very easy to choose if we didn't change the rules.
All right.
So you have to be eyebrowless Joe Jackson. I think that was his name. Or long-ass toenails.
No, I'm going to go with eyebrows because having long toenails like that can actually mess up your feet. Like, you can actually get ingrown toenails and stuff from letting them grow too long. So I can't have that. So I got to take the eyebrow thing. And I'm getting married, so this is it. She's marrying it regardless. Yeah, I don't care anymore. I'm not trying to hook up with randos like you.
Hope she heard that. So you're just going to let it go at this point.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm letting it go.
Dad
bod. She is now obligated to love me no matter what. That is literally in the vows.
Like, it's in the vows.
It's in the vows.
Everybody does follow through with those.
Right, I'd say. So still may want to take care of yourself.
50-50 shot.
So a couple things here. One, some of these women with their eyebrows, I know y'all are doing it for each other because you're not doing it for us. And I mean, it's like the paint it back on.
Yeah, because some women don't have...
And they shape it?
They don't have full eyebrows. Like they're really, you know, they're thin. Women don't like thin eyebrows. They want thick, nice eyebrows.
Right.
Yeah, lush.
I like real eyebrows. So as long as you're not Anthony Davis, nothing and female on most, version of that, and you I mean you need to shave that.
Nothing on most women is real these days. Like that's just a reality.
I know.
Sorry to tell you. Sorry to bust your.
No,
bubble,
you didn't. You're, not, you're the, not bursting
the
any
makeup
bubble.
And the fake boobs and the push-up bras and the push-up panties. Yeah. Ain't nothing real. Everything drops when they take everything off mm-hmm. these days. They Man. Look very different in the morning. It's
you
all
are
good.
Ready for marriage.
It's the truth. Fake hair, fake nails. What do you
I
mean?
I know, but just some of the eyebrow stuff, like some of these chicks fake on eyebrows. TV, I'm like, I mean, it looks like you put a magic marker to it. Just yeah. go with your real hair. Like, we're not into eyebrows.
Yeah, you are. You just don't know you are.
I know. No, no. They always claim that like a great painter, you don't even understand this backdrop and what this shade does to the total painting.
It's true.
Well, I'm looking at the mountains on the painting. I'm looking at other stuff.
Yeah,
I don't need that shade.
The lady lumps.
So,
huh?
So I've had blonde eyebrows and very light eyebrows my whole life. My sister used to make fun of me
it's true,
when I was
too.
A kid and be like, you don't have eyebrows. I'm like, yeah, creepy. I do. I do have eyebrows, all right? And
yeah, you can barely see them, honestly.
Can barely light, see them. So, like, when
yeah.
I did TV, they would always... They
oh,
would
yeah,
always
draw them on.
Shade them in a little bit.
Shade them in. They would draw them on.
Shade them in. Shade them in.
So, that's why you don't like it.
That's exactly why
you
I don't like it. Yes, yes.
All your television career, people were drawing your eyebrows
yes,
on.
Yes, and I was sick of it. Oh,
so, he's done with it. DK. He's already done
the
it.
Excuse that KD just gave is like saying you had a deviated septum.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
So I would Confession. Easily go with the eyebrows because I've been living without eyebrows for a long time.
And you
I've
don't do
fine.
It now that you're done with TV? You haven't done it since?
No, I don't do it.
I'm going to notice now.
Hey,
I'm going to look
hey,
every day
took,
and make sure they don't
it
look
took,
any darker.
There were like women in the office that finally came in. And of course, they used to love to come in when you're getting makeup. And they'd be like, you know, maybe I do a little thing right here. And, you can, and finally, they go, will you please do it? I go, all right, we'll do it one show.
Wow.
And then, of course, the head was like, I like the way that looked. You need to have your eyebrows drawn on now. Like,
yeah, of course it looks better. Come on.
Jeez.
What did wow. they use?
Masculine.
I didn't realize how light your eyebrows are. Now yeah. I can't stop looking at them.
I know.
I can barely see them.
You just proved my point. You've seen the whole painting and how beautiful it is for years now, and you just now notice my eyebrows. There you go.
They're very light.
Oh,
very
man.
Thin.
What yeah. do you use, like dry erase marker? Like,
no, no. It's one of their little pencil things.
Yeah, like the pencils. Yeah,
yeah. And then they get one of those little
eyeliner things.
Bristle
oh,
thingies.
So like,
0.5
lift? Yeah, and then they full,
work
like,
through
it. Out. Yeah.
So you can 0.5
tell. 0.5 or 0.7?
No, flat. No, no.
Different kind of pencil.
Yeah, different type of pencil.
I don't think I'm following here.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going eyebrows too.
Yeah.
I had the toenail.
Wow.
That was gross.
That's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Well, I'm glad we got into that.
Yeah.
Well, we got good information.
Yeah,
we did.
Out
of it. All right, one more for today's edition of Hypothetical Tuesday. Would you rather have your head be the size of a grapefruit or the size of a watermelon? So basically, mini head or giant head?
Watermelon or grapefruit?
Uh-huh. Size of one grapefruit, like your same body that you have now, your head is either the size of an
huge.
Individual grapefruit
yeah.
or, yeah, a full-size watermelon.
I'll just try to picture which one is less horrific. One's got to be more attractive. I'm going to go with watermelon.
You want head. The giant head?
I think a giant because I have a giant brain.
Nah.
If I have a small head, my brain
Give
is small.
Him, yep.
So if I at least I have a big head, nobody's gonna want to bang me. But at least I'll be able to, you know, make my way in this world with my intellect.
Yeah.
Must be some more empty space in there though.
usually the way nature goes, the bigger the head, at least you might have a chance for a bigger brain. You're right. It doesn't guarantee you're gonna have a bigger brain. You're right. There are some big animals that have small brains. You're right.
Do you guys saying. Ever watch Hey Arnold? That was a little bit past y'all's time.
Oh,
right?
Was that one with the football
head?
Yes!
That guy got destroyed, and everyone called him football head. A football is like half the size of a watermelon. And that guy got ridiculed nonstop
no,
for having
right.
a football head.
I'm going watermelon, too.
Oh, man.
And also, I guess it gets back to the whole theme of this for me. You could go to TV. People on TV have huge heads, like the Brian Williams of the world. Just gigantic heads.
Is that figuratively speaking?
Huge heads.
Oh,
well,
literal.
Both.
Yeah?
Both.
Yeah, big heads. That's great.
Man.
Wow.
I think I'm going grapefruit.
You're going grapefruit?
Yeah,
really?
There's nothing in there anyway, so I might as well.
Look how small those
no
are,
No woman
though.
Can ever kiss you or anything. You can't ever get
he
a kiss.
Care about that.
Get past that
yeah,
part.
Right.
Come on.
Come on,
your
man.
Mouth is, how small your mouth is going to be with a grapefruit head. He's going to be like so small.
He'd still have a big mouth somehow.
Yeah. It'd be the entire size of the grapefruit.
Your eyes are going to be small. Everything. See, if I had a big head, my eyes are going to be big, so I can see the world better. Your eyes are going to be real small. You're going to have eye issues.
Imagine the sunglasses you're going to have to wear with a watermelon head, dude. Things are going to be giant. You're going to have to get everything. Oh, your hats?
First world problems, yeah. DJ. First world. You're going to have big issues. You're not going to be able to breathe. Come on.
I'll be your able nose to breathe.
Is gonna be so, your nose is going to be really small.
I'll be able to breathe.
You have a tiny nose,
I'm going watermelon.
Watermelon is the way to go.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be the first time that Jackie O sunglasses actually fit a face.
I don't even know if those will be big enough for a watermelon head.
Oh, that was fantastic.
All right, there you go.
Oh, so random.
Yeah, a quick edition of Hypothetical Tuesday.
Very shallow version of it.
It was. I liked it.
Yeah. Appreciate that. That's from the card game from my sister's car.
Okay.
Drove down with the fam to Galveston to hang out
with
her.
What did she say?
It's good. You say you played it with your family, your mom,
just the sisters, because we drove down together.
Oh, okay.
And it's in one of my sister's cars. So
it's
just
actually not bad.
Killing time on the drive to Galveston. That's
what did the women say?
I think they both went.
Grapefruit?
No, I think they both went watermelon.
Yeah, because they're smart.
And they both went eyebrows as well.
Yes!
Yeah.
Come on, that's the way
smarter,
to go.
They are smarter than me.
Yeah.
They don't work in journalism. That's the obvious way to know right there. All right, it's the Triple Option with RBKD. There is the BK Lounge. It's been a short show. We only have one segment left. We will give you another score update from what's going on at TD Ameritrade Park. This one concerns the Longhorns and maybe some good news if you're a Texas fan. And we'll wrap up the show next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this
down? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, and we're done for the day. A truncated edition of the Triple Option with RBKD.
I'm wiped.
We're happy about that because that meant Texas baseball got themselves a win. They survived in advance. Moving on in the College World Series, they will face the loser of Mississippi State, Virginia, and looks like right now Mississippi State on the losing end. It's still bottom of the second, Virginia up 4-0.
Yeah, single sack, which I love to see. Already seen a couple sacks from Virginia. If you sacrifice,
wrong sport.
Sacrifice.
Got it.
And then a double, two doubles, a single, or actually two singles in a row. Yeah, Virginia is blowing this thing out of the water here quickly.
Mississippi State already pulled its starting pitcher too. So
That was the guy we faced originally, right?
Having to tax their bullpen, which. It's very good news if the Longhorns will be taking
good
on
call.
Mississippi State. And I know
great
Mississippi
news.
State has beaten Texas twice this year, and I know neither game went well for the Texas offense, but I'd rather play them on Thursday and only have to beat them once instead of play Virginia on Thursday and have to beat Mississippi State twice.
And face their third starter.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and gamble with Virginia. Virginia's got some good arms, and if they win this thing, they're obviously going to be in the best position. You just got to win one out of two. As I've talked about, man, you get through that game Thursday, you obviously got to win that. And then before you know it, you're kind of out of the basement, and it's a little bit before you know it. And it happens in that first game, so there's two teams left. Let's say Virginia wins this, right? Texas beats Mississippi State on Thursday. They're playing Friday. And you get up in that game, you get up 4-0 like this, and all of a sudden, the team that felt so secure and so good and so happy the spot they're in quickly is thinking, God, if we don't win this, then we got an elimination game tomorrow. Texas has already been feeling that, and I was so glad to see how loose they were. They came out loose, continue to play like that, and just see what happens.
Backs up against the wall.
Right. What are you going to do?
Yeah. It's either be clutch or go home.
Right. Go home.
Those are your options.
Want to stay around. I loved hearing Tanner Witt say after the game, man, especially as a freshman, he was looking at some of the veterans. He said, I just didn't want to go home. I was going to do everything I could to keep these guys, give them another day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the psychology of it, too. It'll be interesting for Coach Pierce because, and I've heard some of the old heads talk about this, KD, how do you play the psychology of the team right now, right? Do you play on the confidence? Do you make sure that guys are hungry? Do you, like, what are you really critical of guys right now and trying to make sure, you know, how you change up things? You break tendency, which he did by, you know, obviously juicing up the lineup and shuffling the lineup a little bit. All those different things that can end up making the difference. The margin for error is so thin.
Yeah, I would remember, I would just reiterate to these guys, one, stay loose. You got nothing to lose at this point. All right, just go out there, and if we lose, we lose, but go out there and make sure you are who you are. And they were that today. They weren't against Mississippi State. But yeah, I mean, obviously correct some stuff. They shorten their swings. I would continue to do that when you're facing really good pitching in Omaha. Shorten those swings.
Resilient.
They are. You said it all year.
That's the word we've used to describe this team all season long. And they were that today, and they're going to have to be that three more times over the next 4 days. But they get a day off tomorrow, and once again, the next game for Texas on Thursday against the loser of Virginia and Mississippi State. But, guys, I don't want to see Pena or any of the Occupy left field guys for a while, number one.
Damn right.
And number two, I'm still trying to go to Waffle House at some point in the not-too-distant
future. Ooh, that's still alive.
Still on the table.
Yeah. 24 hours? Is that the Waffle House Challenge?
If Texas wins the College World Series, I'll spend 24 hours in a Waffle House.
I think Bucky's going to come visit you. And
we should do all the shows out there.
I'm going to say, people are going to end up basically doing bits out there with you.
Fine by me.
Bringing out social, Twitch cameras, social media. So it may end up being a thing.
I hope it happens.
We all do, because that means Texas won, and we can also humiliate BK. I mean, what more could you ask?
Yeah. I'm living the dream.
It's going to be great.
24 hours inside a Waffle House. I'm making it sound like this is a punishment. This is awesome.
Hey, we're on the road tomorrow, so come out and say hi. Yes. We're going to be out south.
Golden Acres.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this place.
We got an Austin FC watch party. So the Austin FC game starts right at 7 o'clock. So we'll be doing our show from 3 to 7. And then right after that, they'll have the Austin FC game on. They've got a ton of TVs. That place is badass. Excited to be there. Excited for another Austin FC game. It's going to be fun.
2027 South Lamar Boulevard.
Is that it?
You got that memorized?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew you were a fan. I didn't realize you were that
good. I bet you've never been before. I'm looking forward to it.
Physical address.
I've heard good things about it. Also heard good things about this thing called the Longhorn Blitz podcast, which is pretty
damn right.
Good. You got that tonight. So we got some more Rod. Don't worry. What are you guys talking? Do you guys get into Jake or not?
We did not get into Jake Smith, but we did get into what the Big 12 is going to look like this year.
Cool.
So kind of a little deep dive breakdown on why everybody, well, at least all the analytical preseason predictions, believe the Big 12 is going to be pretty competitive.
They do.
They like the Big 12.
Yeah. We don't totally get it, but I'll be curious.
It's the Big 12!
I understand it is, Mr. Hawkins. All right, tomorrow we'll be at Bolden Acres, so come out and say hello to us out south. And we'll have a full show for you. Probably get back into some Texas baseball. We'll know exactly who Texas is playing. Virginia leading Mississippi State 4-0. Hang around. We got Longhorn Blitz podcast. It's one of the best Longhorn pods out there. So you guys enjoy that. And just enjoy getting a win in Omaha. Good win for Texas. They stay alive. For Brad Kellner, for Rod Babers, I'm Kevin Dunn. Y'all have a great night. Peace and hook 'em.